For this day, we thank you for this perfect book we have in front of us. Heavenly Father, we pray that what we learn today, we apply it to our hearts and go out there and try to win the lost as best as possible, Father God. Only you can give the increase, not us. I ask this prayer in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, a couple weeks ago we went over the start of chapter 4, a little bit of a review. We see the Lord Jesus Christ traveling north. He's going due straight towards Samaria. Now, mind you, normally the Jews would go through the Jordan River. However, he went straight through Samaria. And one of the things is, you know, the Samaritans and the Jews, there's no cohesiveness because of the different ways of worship. A lot of pagan rituals were going on with the Samaritans, and the Jews had their own laws. And what we're going to see is the Lord Jesus Christ is approaching as well, and he's tired. You know, it's high noon, it's hot. And lo and behold, there's come this woman. And we're going to take it from verse 11, okay? The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to do to draw water with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? So she's asking a question right off the bat, okay? Thou hast nothing to draw with. When you would travel, you would take with you a leather bucket to draw water from a well or a river, which was the custom. Okay, but Jesus did not have anything to draw water with. The well itself, the way it was constructed, was pretty deep. It was 105 feet deep, 9 feet wide, and it had about 15 feet of water in it. Now, in quotations here, living water is significant because it is a reference to the Lord himself. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Jeremiah 17, verse 13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. That's very significant. Living waters is mentioned quite a bit in this chapter, as well as different books in the Bible. Living waters in this particular reference is to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, naturally here, the woman is listening to him. She takes him literally. So basically, there's no spiritual application yet. The disciples in Matthew did the same thing. But Jesus is not being literal here. He's being more spiritual, and we'll see this as we go on. In John chapter 6, verses 53 through 56, if you go there. Okay, then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Verse 56, He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. This is not literal, folks. This is spiritual. You're starting to see the spiritual application of it, and this is really significant here. John chapter 6, verse 63, you don't have to go there. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And as we go along in chapter 4 of John, you're going to see more as we get towards the later end of it. Not sure if we'll finish it today, but it's going to get more spiritual based. There's more spiritual application that's going to be applied here. She's more focused on the physical part of it. If they took Jesus and tied him down and ate his finger and sucked his blood, they wouldn't have eternal life because they're focusing, obviously, on the spiritual or the physical things. This is the spiritual thing. These people are looking for something material, and they have the wrong motive right off the bat. Okay? The Word of God is spirit, and it is life. And that's what we need to live by, all of us here as Bible believers. That's our daily application every day. Okay? God made us as spiritual beings. They need to be fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can fulfill it. Now, getting back to the lady, her mind is on the physical relief. She's thirsty. The Lord Jesus Christ is something totally in his own mind. And we know what we're going to see here. She is nearer to real water than she thinks. The woman is thinking of drawing up water out of a well of water in front of her. Okay? John 4:12. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? So she's asking a question there. Verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. The Lord Jesus Christ is ducking the second objection she has, and refers her to a different kind of water. Okay. John chapter 7, 38. You don't have to go there. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39. You don't have to go there. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. If you take this water, you will not need any after death. If you die without the new birth, you're going to, quote, have a problem. And I don't know if whoever was here this morning, Luke chapter 16 is a very significant chapter. It talks about hell and the consequences of not being born again. I'll read 16:24 up. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. John 4:14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Amen. I shall give him is mentioned two times, and it means it's a gift in that verse. Titus 3:5, you don't have to go there. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can satisfy our thirst. How do we satisfy our thirst as Bible believers? Right here. That 66 caliber. Imagine that. But only the Samaritan woman, she's very confused because she's trying to figure out what is he getting at? What's going on here? Okay. She thinks she's getting water, but there's more to it. And she's looking at the Lord Jesus Christ as like, man, is he suffering from heat exhaustion? What's wrong with him? And you see some of the human characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ as when he was a man. Okay? He's tired. Remember when he slept on the ship during that storm? Right there. He was in such a deep sleep, they had to wake him up. Those are some of the human traits that he had. Okay? John 4:15. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. So she's going along with it, okay? But she's also being sarcastic. She's playing the role for the moment, okay? And in John 4:16, Jesus says unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. This is a pretty bold comment that's being made here, and a strong command that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. He's got great authority behind it, okay? John 4:17, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. Now here's what's going on here. The Lord Jesus Christ is making her feel the weight of this sin that she was dealing with and about adultery. Okay. She knew the Pentateuch, however, and in Exodus 20. The penalty for adultery was death. Now, one thing I want to emphasize here is if you evangelize purely only on the gifts of God, then everyone's going to sign up. Everyone's going to say, hey, you know, let me give this Christianity thing a try. What can I get out of it? And that's not, you know, obviously we know what the right attitude is. You know, it shouldn't be what can I get out of it, you know. It's what did the Lord Jesus Christ do for me on that cross? And do I believe it 100%? It's over to what my dad talked about this morning. You know, there's an application to it, and it's the spiritual application that's the most important. And that's what he's trying to get that through her. He's like, hey, wake up. You know, she's looking at the physical needs. You know, and I'm guilty of that. There's times I look at the physical things, or if I see things in front of me that, you know, hey, I got to do this, or I got to, you know. And what one thing I need to realize is focusing on the spiritual aspect of things, pray about it. You know, it can be anything. It can be people you're dealing with every day on the job, or it can be an objective you want to achieve in your life. Give it to God first. Pray about it and see where he leads you. That's all that's going to matter at the end. It's not, you know, trying to satisfy man. Because you'll never satisfy man, no matter what. you'll never make anybody happy. And that's one thing that we're gonna realize really quick. John 4:18, for thou has had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidest thou truly. So she's unwilling to tell, she's not telling him the whole truth of what's going on. He tells it for her. So he basically hits her right across the side of the head, with the truth. Okay? She's living with someone and not married. That's adultery. Okay, now back in John chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, you don't have to go there. Jesus knows man's heart, and he knows their history. So he knows all of our hearts. It's obviously deceptive and it's wicked. That's we're born in a sin nature, let's face it. But thank God we have a risen Savior that redeemed us with that shed blood on that cross. That's all that matters. That's all that 100% matters. And John 4:19, she saith unto him, Sir, I perceived that thou art a prophet. So she's calling him a prophet now, okay? If you look at her response here, it's interesting because it says, I perceive that you are a prophet. Now all of a sudden, she's calling him a prophet. She's not looking at him as a delusional person that's suffering from a physical ailment. We already know he's tired. The heat's gotten to him, okay? She really is starting to feel the conviction of her sin, slowly. It's a progression, okay? John 4:20, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place we're meant to worship. Here's her question, where do I go to worship? Her soul is bowing slowly, and she knew in being right with God is a matter of worship. She does not know where to worship either. Mount Gerizim with the Gentiles or in Jerusalem with the Jews. So she's not sure what's going on or what to do, okay? John 4:21, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe in me, or believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Now, in this verse alone, the word woman, that's very authoritative, okay? If I was to call my mom woman, it wouldn't be pretty. Let's just put it, I'd be flying somewhere. But it wouldn't be good. Believe it or not, I was at the grocery shopping one time, and I heard a little kid say woman to his mom, and I just kind of looked, I'm like, ooh, okay. And I just went about my business, but that's another story. John 2:4, you don't have to go there. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. John 19:26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Folks, true worship, it's not about a place, a ceremony, or a ritual, okay? We come here every Sunday. We come here to get fed. We get the spiritual nutrition that we need, and we go out there and do what we have to do to get through the week. And that's something that we face, all of us. It can be whatever you do during a week. True worship is the first greatest commandment. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. It's 100% commitment to the Lord. John 4:22, ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Jesus is telling her that they have no clue what they are worshiping at Mount Gerizim. He's letting her know that the Jews have the right oracles. They have the truth. John 4:23, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And that's how that's our daily walk, in spirit and in truth. Two of the most important things, folks. It's not the flesh, it's not the physical part of it, it's right here, spiritual. This is also a rebuke to organized Judaism at the time, because all they were doing was going through the motions. Trying to live through the law and doing things that they weren't supposed to do. The question is, how are you worshiping God? Are you worshiping God for who he is, regardless of what he has done for you? Is there conditions behind that? A lot of people do not mind worshiping God if they're healthy, wealthy, and wise. We have the prosperity preachers that we see on TV. When you talk about some salesmen, they'll sell you anything. you know. They'll sell you a battle tank and somehow get it in your garage somehow. I mean, they'll do anything. Unfortunately, it's crept into the, you know, all the new Bibles, and we see what we see the collateral damage that's being done out there. It's unfortunate, you know, and got a few of my friends that are falling into that, and you know, it's, you have to make that stand. It's tough. It's not easy. I can't sit here and say it's easy. You know, it's hard. It's a hard thing when, but when you're standing up for what's right, that's going to matter at the judgment seat. It's like I said 2 weeks ago, when you're at that judgment seat, it's you and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all that's going to matter. Nothing else matters, you know. But as soon as things start to drop out from them, there's no more praising God. So they're, like I said earlier, they're focused on the physical things and what's in front of them, what's directly in front of them. If you take a look at your own spiritual walk and your daily walk in life, if things don't work out for you, things go down the toilet, you know, so to speak. I mean, you got to ask yourself, is it something that you're doing, or is it, hey, this is a test from God. How am I going to react to it? You know, how strong am I as a Bible believer? And that's why you got to get in the book. I mean, you know, strong preaching, getting in the book, that's where it starts. You know, set that precedent every day when you wake up. You know, have your coffee, grab your Bible, go to the table, read it. Saturate your mind with it. Helps me out every day. You know, drive in the car, put some sermons on Bluetooth, do something. That'll get your mind ready for whatever you're going to deal with every day. You know, it's a challenge out there. John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Like I said earlier, that's important. In spirit and in truth. And that also includes, you know, the right Bibles, the right music, not a rock concert. Some of the places that I've been to, I mean, within 5 to 10 minutes, I walked right out the door. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And it's dangerous out there. Some of the stuff they're getting into, new age movements, word of faith movement, you know, prosperity. We all know what it is. To truly worship God in spirit involves having the right attitude, spiritual music, as I said earlier, the hymns. Those hymns are beautiful. When you open those hymns and we sing those hymns, they should speak to you. They speak to me. And boy, that's gratification right there. It's great. Truly is a blessing. The word of Christ is a reference to Scripture because it includes, without restriction, the words of the Psalms and the words that were recorded by Paul. This perfect book can be held in one's hands. Ephesians 5:19, you don't have to go there. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing, when we sing, it's an expression of our joy to the Lord Jesus Christ. We shout out to him. Brother Tom said something Thursday night too. You know, we should express our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when he said that, you know, whatever we might be doing, on the job, dealing with coworkers, express your love and your joy for the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you can have the worst day of your life, but you know what? When you're driving home, in the back of your mind, I got the Lord Jesus Christ on my side, and that's all that matters. That's all that's going to matter. Nothing else. Because that world will never bring you happiness. John 4:25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. So she's calling him the Messiah, okay? That's extremely significant. That's important. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Even though she was a Samaritan, she was looking for a coming Messiah, as was prophesied by the prophets. John 4:26. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. There you go. Great. Right there in front of her. I that speak unto thee am he. Jesus Christ in the Gospels only openly confesses that he is, quote, the Christ, the Son of the Blessed. He also confesses to be, quote, the Son of God. John 9:35 and, quote, Jehovah in John 8:58. And one thing, the perennial bullshooting baloney from the seminaries in America from generally 1970 to 2020, that Jesus never actually claimed these things is just more religious nonsense from the educated sewers. What a bunch of garbage. You know, that's a subtle attack on the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so different than the new Bibles. You know, you start attacking the blood atonement. That's a foundational principle of salvation, folks. You take the blood out, we have a serious problem. Serious problem. Let's see here. The only way you can say that he did not claim to be these things is to pretend that John lied when he recorded Jesus as saying them. John was right there. He was the witness. He was witness to it. And one of the unfortunate things that we see today, which is actually a standard operating procedure in all the, you know, Yale, Princeton, all the Ivy League colleges. And mind you, these were founded by Bible-believing Christians. They were missionary schools at first, and they just went down the tubes. And we see it today. Now, his witness to the fallen woman is over. In order to duck the issue, she tried the social argument in verse 9, in chapter 4, the skeptic's argument in verse 11, and the denominational argument in verse 12, and the doctrinal argument in verse 20, and finally the postponement argument in verse 25. So she's trying to duck the issue no matter which way. She's trying to keep things, you know, in the physical aspect. She's not even looking at the spiritual part of it. 4:27, and upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, "What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her?" They are naturally shocked to see him chit-chatting with a Samaritan. John 4:28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. She finally got so interested and she got on fire for the spiritual things that she forgot her physical thirst. She walked away and completely forgot her thirst because she was so focused on the spiritual part of it. And that's what we have every day. We focus on the spiritual things and everything else just seems, you know, bad thoughts, bad days, whatever it could be, you know. Just getting your mind on that spiritual part of that book. That's your foundation, folks. She actually forgot what she came to the world to get because her mind was so focused on the Messiah. And in John 4:29, come, see a man which told me all the things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? So she's asking the question. She goes back into the town as a personal evangelist, witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And she's gathering a huge congregation while she's doing this. So that's, you know, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit works. It's working in that aspect. She's getting the attention, and that's good. One thing I want to note, too, the new Bibles, they steal the woman's faith right out of her mouth. They completely change the words in this chapter. And one thing I want to note here, instead of her saying, is not this the Christ? The corrupt Bible say, could this be the Christ? Well, there's an attack on the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ right there. If you can't see that, there's something wrong. That's a blatant attack on the deity of Christ. And I'll be honest with you, it makes me angry. You know, that's you attack this book, I have a problem with it. It's real simple. You know, you got to stand up for it. The King James Bible is the only Bible that does not change this. Okay? An apple is not an orange, but it says Bible on the cover. That's nonsense. That's hogwash. 10% change to get a copyright on it. John 4:30. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. 4:31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. John 4:32. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. The disciples now offer him some lunch. It's a little bit after high noon. But he says, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. John 4:33. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him out to eat? John 4:34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. When the disciples start talking to each other, Jesus gives them some relief by explaining what he had just said. He defines, quote, the meat. It is doing God's will. Note, to finish his work. John 4:39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. The woman had exaggerated things a little. Quote, told me all things I ever did. She was a little bit, you know, with exaggeration. But you can see why she was so impressed. I mean, her mind was blown. Even then, she figured right. For if Jesus Christ told her what he did tell her in verses 17 and 18, he certainly could have told her anything else she did. Lo, he declareth unto man what is his, quote, thought. Thus saith the Lord, I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. Ezekiel 11:5, the Lord understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. The Lord knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. Obviously, it's wicked. I mean, if I was to stand up here and tell you, I don't think bad things or, I don't do nothing wrong or, toot my little horn. No, that's not how that works. I'd be the first one to tell you, But it's a work in progress. Like I said 2 weeks ago, I'll be a work in progress until the Lord takes me out of here. And that's how you have to approach this book, humble and contrite. Because if you do that, then more things get revealed to you. And when these things get revealed to you, you know what to expect. You know how to deal with everything out there. And you also know how to deal with lost people when they have questions. Okay? And use charity with these people. John 4:40. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. These people knew they needed Jesus' teachings. They were not like the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees, which wanted to be rid of Jesus. In other words, the religious people, too. These people of Sychar wanted to hear more. So they were interested. They wanted more. They wanted more meat. This little bit that the woman had told them had really stirred them up, and they wanted to hear more. So you see the Holy Spirit working on these people, working on them, getting their attention right off the bat. And the Lord loves the humble in heart, and he likes when you approach this book with contriteness, as I said earlier. The self-satisfied group of the temple could not receive anything from Jesus. These people of Samaria were eager to hear. What a blessing. I mean, what a blessing to have the people, want this meat. Okay? John 4:41, and many more believed because of his own word. These people came at first because of the testimony of the woman. But now they believe because of the words Jesus had spoken. And on that note, I'm going to leave it right there. So we see, more importantly, in the spiritual aspect of all this and how important it is, not look at what's in front of us, but look at what this book says. And it's a true blessing to have a perfect book, folks. It's like having the roadmap with all the roads in it. You're not missing any roads. That's how I look at this book. What a better way to live your life as a wild believer. And on that note, I'm going to end it there. And I have a question for all of you.